In a time where everyone's complaining they can't afford to buy a house in Australia, I want to break down how feasible it is to get into the property market now, even when you're starting with a really small deposit. So if you're interested in what my thoughts are and how you want to kickstart your property investing journey, then definitely keep watching. Hey guys, my name's Ravi and welcome back to Personal Finance with Ravi Sharma. If you're new here, smash that subscribe button because I talk about real estate, cryptocurrency, and financial freedom. Now, it was a really exciting week for myself because if you've been following the channel or me on socials, then you'll know that I appeared on live TV on The Sunrise Show. And honestly, it was such a different experience. I'm here looking at the camera by myself in my own room versus being in a studio with like 50 other people and doing it live. If you're interested in watching that video, you can definitely check out the full segment here. I've uploaded on my YouTube channel. But thank you so much for the support from all of you guys, because honestly, I wouldn't have even made it to that level if it wasn't for you guys smashing that like button, subscribing, and sharing these videos. So as you can tell by the smile on my face, yes, I'm very happy. Now, just because I got into mainstream media doesn't mean I ditch the black t-shirt and go for like a business corporate-y look. No. This is true. This is me and it's authentic. So hopefully mainstream media likes me with a black t-shirt. Otherwise, we may have some issues. Now let's jump into some real numbers here. You'll notice that when I make videos, I often talk about a price point between $400,000 and $650,000. Normally my examples end up being in the average of about $450,000 or $500,000. And then sometimes in the comment section, people ask, well, where can I buy a house for $500,000? And that's the exact reason why I needed to make this video, because I want to share information that's out there that most people don't have access to. Now, you might be watching this going, yeah, I already know about this stuff, but there's so many of you out there that are unaware of what's happening on the other side of Australia. Or if you're on the Western seaboard, you're looking at what's happening on the Eastern seaboard. And if you're in a metro city where you only look at your own backyard, you're not aware of what's happening 3 to 4 hours down the road. So let's jump into some numbers. Now, for this example, I'm going to have everything on screen so you can follow along and pause it if you need. So for a $450,000 home, you can go in with a 10% or a 12% deposit. A 12% deposit is $54,000, whereas a 10% deposit is $45,000. Now you might go, well, why am I putting a 12% when you just said I can go and leverage my money at 10%? Now that choice is completely up to you. But what I found is when you put that extra 2%, you get into where this golden ratio really kicks in with LMI, lender's mortgage insurance, which is something you have to pay when your deposit is less than 20%. Say in this example, you went ahead and put 10% as a deposit, your LMI cost is $10,000. But if you simply put an extra 2% in, your LMI drops from 10,000 down to 6,300. In my head, when I'm putting numbers together, it makes a lot of sense, but that's not to say that you can't go out there with a 10% deposit, and it's why you need a good mortgage broker on your side. You would not believe how many people have emailed me saying, hey, my mortgage broker told me I can't put less than a 20% deposit. Honestly, it's disgusting that the level of knowledge that's out there with some of these brokers that are then going on to spread misinformation, it honestly is so disheartening, because then people often take that information and it stops them from actually getting in. The regret they have like 2 years later is enormous, and that's why I try and advocate for us to share more videos like this so that more people know how we can actually go and make moves towards our financial freedom. It's very important. So let's assume a 12% deposit in this example. Next up, you will have stamp duty. So for this example, we buy a property in Queensland. The stamp duty is going to be about $15,000. You then have conveyancing. So a conveyancer is basically someone who will go through the contract on your behalf and make sure the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted. Their job is mainly to review the contract, ensure that all of the conditions that you wanted in that contract are in there, and make sure that if there were any changes or anything that comes up, that it's actually properly communicated so you're not left in the dark and potentially get screwed over by the vendor. In addition to the conveyancer, you're probably going to go and get a pest and building inspection. Now, a pest and building inspection is going to cost you about $1,000. It just really depends on where you're getting this done. I've heard as low as like $400. I've heard as high as $2,000. So it really just comes down to who you're picking and which location you're actually purchasing in. I have never bought a property for myself or the hundreds of properties we bought for clients without this one contract condition, which is we need a pest and build inspection and it needs to be to our satisfaction. Now you might think that's not really important, but believe me, it is. And the reason for that is you could walk in through that property and think it's absolutely amazing, but you have no idea what's happening behind the walls, underneath the ground, and as well as what's happening with the fencing. And these costs can add up later. And that's why you hear so many stories of nightmares people have with rental properties, because they end up buying something where they haven't done the proper due diligence. And then they find themselves having to pay so much in the first year. They're like, I'm so done with this. I'm selling my property at a loss and I'll never touch real estate again. I'm sure you know someone, or you've probably gone on Reddit somewhere and heard about these stories. This is why it's so important that you would rather lose a deal upfront than to go and pick up a property that smells a little fishy. Not only will the house smell fishy, you're like, I don't want to live here. Your tenants will be like, this smells fishy. But when you see a deal that's way too good to be true, chances are it is way too good to be true. They're hiding something, and that's why you need to be aware of what your rights are, and the conditions in the contract will help protect you. If you need help with finding a conveyancer, definitely email me. Now, the final fee, which is actually optional, is a buyer's agent fee. So $16,000 for the buyer's agent, and you might go, well, why the hell am I going to spend that? And the reality is, this is not about me selling you on the service. It's me simply educating you on what a buyer's agent does. Reality is that most people will use a real estate agent and say, they're helping me and it's free. Well, if you're not paying them, they're getting paid from somewhere else. And if they're getting paid from somewhere else, guess where their intentions lie? With that other person. They need to now serve the vendor, because the vendor is paying a percentage of the sale price to the real estate agent. So the higher the price, the higher their fee. So they have actually no incentive to help you get the best price. Now just rewind that and logically think about this. If their pay is determined by how high the sale price is, why exactly would they help you as the buyer to reduce the price? It's actually going against what their intentions are. They're incentivized to get the highest price, whereas a buyer's agent should be doing the opposite for you. Now, I can't really talk about anyone else and how they run their agency, but for us, it's a fixed fee. And the whole idea is we want to go in there and get the best value for the client. Why? Because chances are, if you do really well on the first one, you're giving us a call to purchase your second one. And yes, we get a fee on every property, but that also gives us an incentive to get you the right property. And trust me, when you look at the numbers, you'll realize that fee is so small compared to what you'll make in the next 5 years when it comes to capital growth and having the peace of mind to do this properly, get started with speed, and know that someone was there to guide you the whole way through. If by now of watching the channel for more than 3 months, you don't understand the value of a buyer's agent, you're probably not gonna understand in this video, so let's continue. Now that brings the total to $88,000 excluding LMI. So $88,000 to get you a property that's worth $450,000. I want you to stick around till the end of this video, because I'm gonna share with you the importance of LMI as well as leverage and how all of this comes together with cash flow. Now you might be sitting there and saying, well, I don't wanna pay LMI, it's an unnecessary cost. I'm trying to reduce all of my upfront costs. This is where we need to take a pause and think about mindset. If you're in the mindset to go, I wanna save, you're basically in a contractionary mindset. You're like, how do I save a dollar here, save a dollar here? Versus having an open growth mindset, you're saying, okay, if I'm spending this money, I'm okay spending it if I can make more. So there's a difference. I wanna make more in the second situation. In the first mindset, what you're trying to do is save more. In the second mindset, you're trying to make more. I promise you, if you spend time training your mindset to be shifted from going saving more to making more, your life will completely change. You can only save 100% of your salary, right? The income you make, let's say it's 100K, you can save a maximum of 100K. Now, of course, there's taxes and things like that, but if you're left with 100K, that's all you can ever save. Instead, if I say, well, I make 100K, but I can take up a side hustle and make an extra 20K, I'm happy paying the extra tax because now I'm still left with more. And then when you look at that and you say, well, my ceiling is unlimited, versus in this case, my ceiling is limited by the 100K. So if you understand that, smash that like button. I promise you it changes the way you look at investing. Let's talk about LMI. If you go, I don't want to pay LMI, all you have to do is save 20% as a deposit. So in this case, you would have $45,000, which would be 10%. You would need to save another $45,000 to be able to purchase this property so you can avoid paying LMI. But in effect, I have to wait almost 2 years, if not longer, based on a savings rate of $2,000 per month, because it's going to take me that long to get the next $45,000. So $2,000 a month for 24 months is about $48,000. So by simply not paying that, you've now stopped yourself from getting into the market 2 years earlier. Now guess what? You could probably do that. And in 2 years time, that property that was $450,000 at a conservative 5% growth rate would now be worth close to $496,000. And at that point, if you wanted 20%, you would have to wait another 3 months to be able to get to $99,000, which is about what you need as a 20% deposit for that property. I know I just threw a lot of numbers out there for you, but the reality is speed is the key. I've had the opportunity to go in 10% or 20%, and I've always chosen the lower amount. And that's simply because it allows me greater leverage. If I can go in and say a property that I can now control costs me $45,000 versus $90,000, my return on investment is twice as much. Instead of controlling $450,000 house, I can now control $900,000 worth of a house. Time in the market is how the rich get filthy rich. And that's what you're wanting to do. You're not coming out here and saying, hey, it'll be nice to have one investment property and then I'll retire and I'll still only have like $300 a week towards my name. Okay, that's not rich. Trust me, you're not gonna sit there and be like, I feel rich. What you want is filthy rich. And the truth is you only need two properties to be able to get there. I've broken this down completely with a whiteboard video. Definitely go check it out. It's one of the most popular videos on my channel. And if you've watched it, watch it again after this one and it all starts making sense. Now let's look at cash flow for a property at this number. Now I've just made up the $450,000 number, but what I wanted to do is show you a real life example of a property we picked up recently for a client. Now, if you're interested in the type of deals we pick up, you should definitely go follow me on Instagram at searchpropertyau, and I'll leave a link in the description below because we post deals every single week that we pick up. Now, here we've got is a $457,500 home. So yes, a little higher than the $450,000. But this property rents for $525 a week. The market value was assessed at $466,500. Which means the instant equity was about $9,000 and we expect the return on investment to be about 15% in the first 12 months. We expect the growth to be greater than 7% in the first year, but for this example, we use 5% very conservatively. So from a cash flow perspective, let's look at that. After property management fees, that $525 per week is now $483, which when annualized is $25,116. Now the costs would include rates and insurances, which works out to be about $5,000 a year. And then you have interest repayments. If you went in at 88% on this loan, then your interest at 6.5% would work out to be $26,169 per year. So when you look at your total expenses, that's $31,169. And when you minus that from the rent that you're receiving, which means your negative cash flow of $6,053 per week is actually only $116. Now that's before any deductions, any of the tax returns are done, and not accounting for any depreciation if there is that. So once you consider all of those factors, you're pretty much close to neutral, if not slightly negative. The reality is that with interest rates at 6.5%, if you're still getting to a point where you're only spending about $100 per week out of your pocket in year one, at an 88% lend, you are cheering. Because after year one, you've got your rents increasing, and even if interest rates don't drop at all, you might find yourself in a position where you are slightly positive after your tax returns. Within 24 months, you're definitely positive, especially if interest rates start dropping even by 25 basis points. And the key to all of this is to be able to purchase the right property. I can't stress that enough. Simply going out there and saying, well, I'm just gonna invest anywhere and just hope for the best, it'll probably work out because you convince yourself it's a long-term game. So you go, well, it doesn't matter if I've lost money, if it went sideways for 3 years, it's okay. In 30 years, I'll be further ahead. But the reality is you wanna do this properly. You wanna retire filthy rich, not just rich like some people think they are. And in order to do that, you've got to pick the right property in the right phase of the market cycle, which gives you rental growth as well as capital growth. I would much rather go out there and purchase three of these types of properties in three different locations, diversify my risk, increase my cash flow, and avoid having to concentrate all of my risk in one property, purchasing it and then telling myself, it's not my forever home. Let's be real. It's gonna turn into an investment that'll be 30K negative cash flow every year and I still can't buy anything. And that's my thesis around investing. I think it can be fun and I think you can still enjoy your lifestyle without having to compromise anything. So if you're interested in knowing how all of that works, we've just launched a brand new website where you can go ahead and book in a call as well. I'll leave a link in the description below. As well as that, you can see it pop up on the screen right now. It's like magic. I hope you guys have enjoyed this video. If you have, smash that like button, subscribe if you haven't already, and I'll catch you guys in the next one. Thanks guys.